Hechel Menachem presents A Tale of Two Souls, an ongoing lecture series on the Tanya by Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak Jacobson. This is recording number 104 in the series entitled Religious But Not Godly, When a Divine Act Cannot Soar. This class was recorded live at Hechel Menachem, Brooklyn, New York on the 1st of Sivan, 5760.
Reciprocate all of you with all the happiness in the world and in all of the four worlds, which brings us right to the theme discussed in chapter 39, that the human being, the Jew's consciousness, can exist and operate within a structure of four worlds or four dimensions, four perspectives, corresponding to the four universes of Atzilus, Bria, Yetzira, Asiya, the universe of intimacy, creation, formation, and finally fragmentation or action. And Alter Rebbe said, when the consciousness in the human being that is propelling his learning of Torah and his observance of mitzvahs is a consciousness reflecting the world of Atzilus, the world of intimacy, then the Torah and the mitzvahs he is engaging in ascend to that world. When the consciousness that's driving the Torah and the mitzvahs is that of the world of creation, Bria, then the Torah and mitzvahs soar and ascend to the world of Bria. When the feeling, the passion that prompts one's learning and observance is that of the world of Yetzirah, of formation, the Torah and mitzvahs ascend to that world. And finally, when there is no spiritual consciousness serving as a motor, as a driving force to one's Torah and mitzvahs, rather, his consciousness is that of the world of action, the lowest world, then the Torah and the mitzvahs remain down here below. The type of consciousness that defines the creature, so to speak, of the world of intimacy that Alter Rebbe refused to elaborate upon, saying that Ein Lano Esek B'Nistareis, it transcends our capacity and our comprehension, and we don't have any business delving into hidden matters which we will not truly comprehend. But the point he did say was that the consciousness in Atzilus is really the fact that there is no consciousness there. There is a total sense of bittul, a total suspension of any I whatsoever, submerged, included, and melted away in the all-pervading reality of the one God. They are defined not as lovers of Hashem, but as a Merkava, as a total chariot, an instrument, a conduit through its through which Hashem's oneness shines forth. The type of consciousness characterizing the world of creation is defined by Ava V'Yira Sichlis, transcendental love and awe, a type of passion that is born as a consequence of meditation and contemplation in the truth of godliness that transcends the human being. The consciousness characterizing the world of formation is Ava V'Yira Tivis, natural love and awe, where the human being tunes in to the pre-existing feeling of spirituality and love that is already embedded within his nature and makes that spirituality the driving factor and force in his life. Finally, the consciousness that defines our lovely world, the world of action, everyone is very well aware with that level of consciousness. It's the sense of ego, fragmentation, separation, and disunity, which cause the Torah and mitzvahs being performed within that psychological mode to remain in the Olam HaPirud, in the world of fragmentation. And now let's continue further inside. Page 106, Daf Nun Gimel Amud Beis. The line beginning with the word HaKadoshes.
Before you go on, when you're speaking about that these are the concrete, these are the wings that affect us in consciousness, let's say, in Bria and Yetzirah, there's certain svarim that are like wood for the fire, like you're speaking about, let's say, that. To affect all them Bria, so you're saying Yira and Ava, and how to move this is through a meditation and contemplation of the Matthias Shem.
Well, last week, we discussed at length, I'm sure you recall, these four levels of consciousness and their counterparts in the microcosmic worlds. Here I just repeat it very briefly to be able to go on.
But did you also mention that which svarim can...
Which svarim can help one elevate himself to these levels?
Yeah.
Chassidus.
And this is, you say this is in the order to push off, let's say, all of the real, because meditating, contemplating, this is something that is,
it's, these are real stuff.
Yeah,
these are deep issues. One has to really work on himself and be genuine about it. This is the process of real spiritual growth. It takes courage.
I understand this, and which svarim I'm not there, this.
Okay.
Can you put yourself in a certain frame of mind where you go into Yetzirah, Bria?
Of course. It's all about a frame of mind. As it's written in Tikkunim, which is a section of Zayar, Tikkuni Zayar, and Tikkun Yud. That without awe and love, without these two passions accompanying one's Torah and mitzvahs, Le Parch Le'ele does not soar upward. And it cannot rise to stand before Hashem. What is the Tikkunim saying? A mitzvah is an activity performed within the physical world. Even Torah, our words articulated and verbalized within the physical universe. When you're giving tzedakah, what you're doing is you're transferring an object, in this case money or something of monetary value, from one domain to another domain, from the domain of the giver to the domain of the man in need taking the, receiving the charity. When you're shaking the lulav or the other species that we shake on Sukkos, you're combining various physical branches and shaking them south, north, east, west, up, high, but up, down, and so forth. Apparently what is happening is, in truth, there's an activity being performed in a mundane world. We are transferring objects or creating changes of objects within physical space and a physical reality. So as long as there's no spirituality present here, when there is no consciousness of the higher worlds, when there is no inspiration or energy coming from a more refined, subtle, sublime place that is standing and driving these activities, it doesn't have any meaning or any significance beyond the physical world. For the deed to have meaning and significance beyond the world in which it is being actualized, it must be imbued with a current, with an engine, with an energy originating in the higher worlds, which redefines these words and these acts as links, as energies taking place and happening in the spiritual worlds. If not Zag Dezaya, they remain just as their performer part of physical man's pedestrian, self-bound existence. To create the Parchala Eila, to transcend the parameters of the world in which it's being performed, it must have fuel, a motor being driven by the higher worlds. I once heard a Vart in the name of one of the sages of last century, one of the Daily Yisrael, saying, what's the difference between leather of a shoe and leather of tefillin? The difference is in the lishma. In the meditation accompanying the designer of these leathers. Because everyone knows tefillin has to be made lishma. You have to fashion the hide in a certain way for the sake of the mitzvah of tefillin. And that creates the whole difference that this is the leather of a shoe, this is a shoe. And this is a pair of tefillin, a transcendental, sacred, divine object. So the energy, the thought, the meditation creates the whole change. Here the Alter Rebbe is adding, in the tefillin itself, there is the difference between the tefillin being performed without the chilu and rechimu, and then it remains tefillin, but it remains a physical object and a physical deed in a physical, materialistic, material world. Or there's the dechilu or rechimu, which allows it to transcend its own parameters and find significance beyond the physical world as a spiritual event in the spiritual worlds.
Okay, so this makes a difference in Klapi Maila, but what's the difference down over here? That somebody's going to be wearing a shoe.
A minute. One moment. Now, the Alter Rebbe, when he was liberated from prison, he went to visit many of the great Lithuanian sages who fiercely opposed the Alter Rebbe and the whole Hasidic movement, as well as the Chassidim, for which reason the Alter Rebbe was imprisoned initially, as the story is well known, and we discussed it several times. One of the people the Alter Rebbe visited was one of the greatest Lithuanian sages of the time. His name was Rabbi Yeshua Tseitlin. He lived in Shklov. Now, Rabbi Yeshua Tseitlin heard that Alter Rebbe arrived to his home. To put it mildly, he didn't like the man too much. So he refused to even get up from the couch where he was sitting and learning. But he allowed Alter Rebbe to come in. As soon as the Alter Rebbe walks in, Rabbi Yeshua Tseitlin turns to him and says, Liyajner Magid, as some people would call him, Liyajner Magid, the Magid, the preacher of Liyajner, where the Alter Rebbe lived. Do you know how to learn? So the Alter Rebbe humbly gazed at him and he says, Zagmid, how many times are Abaya and Rava mentioned in Shas? So without skipping too many heartbeats, the Alter Rebbe told him the exact number. So Rabbi Yeshua Tseitlin said, you missed one place. What about Rava and that Masechta, that and that Daf? So the Alter Rebbe said, Rabbi Yeshua, don't you remember that this and this commentator explains that the correct Girsa in that Gemara is Rava, Rava, not Rava. And thus I omitted to mention that source. So then Rabbi Yeshua says, now, why did you write in your Tanya in chapter 39 that a Yid can learn Torah his entire life, and nonetheless, if it wasn't accompanied with a passion, with inspiration, with spirituality, with a sense of transcendence, of nullification of the ego, of love, of awe towards Hashem, it doesn't soar upwards? So the Alter Rebbe says, Was vilti for me as I state in Zayar? What do you want from me? It says that in Zayar, in Tikkun Zayar, in Tikkun Yud. So Rabbi Yeshua says, we don't paskin from the Zayar, we paskin from Shas and Paskin. We don't create verdicts based on what it says in Kabbalah. Halacha is defined only in terms of what is clearly stated in Gemara or in Halacha, in Shulchan Aruch and so forth. So the Alter Rebbe says, Sabbath Fetish Gemara. In Masechta Pesachim, It says in Gemara, it's not a Zayin. So here Rabbi Yeshua jumps up from the couch, runs over to the Shafa. You could see that the whole Masechta Pesachim is now flying through his mind. He takes out a Pesachim and he says, Vu. So the Alter Rebbe opens Pesachim to Daf Nun Amud Beis. And he shows him the Gemara. Gemara says there that Rava asked the question. That's Pshat Mineu Ve Alva Lishda Beinarga in Perek Lamed Aleph. He brought, I just realized this, that, what's Pshat? That the tree is knocked down as a result of its own wood. Because the handle of an axe is made out of the wood that's cut off the tree that then comes to knock down the tree. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin on Matas concerning Eivadia was an Edomite convert who then prophesied about the ultimate fall of Edom. But in any case, Rava asks a question. There's a contradiction. Ksiv ki gadol ad shamayim chazdecha, ksiv ki gadol me'al shamayim chazdecha. A contradiction in Tillim. In one place in Tillim Nun Zayin, David HaMelech says, Ki gadol ad shamayim chazdecha v'ad shchakim amitecha. Your kindness is so great that it reaches till the heavens. V'ad shchakim amitecha. And till the highest, deepest heights, your truth reaches. But another pasuk in Tillim in Kufcheh says, Ki gadol me'al shamayim chazdecha v'ad shchakim amitecha. Your kindness is great beyond the highest heaven. And for the Gemara, Haketzat, Kan Ba'isin Lishma, V'Kan Ba'isin Shalai Lishma. It depends on two types of individuals. If they're performing their mitzvahs or they're learning the Torah Lishma, which means for its own sake, for the Torah's sake, for the mitzvah's sake, for a divine end, as we shall soon see, then it goes Me'al Shamayim. Then your kindness reaches Me'al Shamayim. But if it's performed Shalai Lishma, it's only Ad Shamayim. And the Gemara continues, Kid Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Rav, that La'olam Yasik Adam Teira Mitzvahs Aval Bi Shalai Lishma, Shemitech Shalai Lishma Ba Lishma. A person should engage in Teira and Mitzvahs even not Lishma, even not for the ideal intentions, because from Shalai Lishma it will reach a state of Lishma. So like Rashi explains, and therefore it has powerful significance, because even though it's not done Lishma, it's still a mitzvah, like Rabbi Yehuda is saying, La'olam yasik adam b'teira mitzvah Shalai Lishma, even though it doesn't go Me'al Shamay. So here we have a clear source for the Zoharic idea, that if there's the chilu rechimu, which is the concept of lishma, yiren, ava, there's a spirituality fueling it, then your chesed goes me'al shamayim. But if not, it's loy paruch halel, it stays ad shamayim. When Rabbi Yeshua heard that, he was overwhelmed and he was astonished. And he turned to his wife and he said, merhaben da achad bedara, we have here the chad bedara, one in a generation. Come, let's make a feast for him. They sat for hours and hours and created quite a close friendship as a result of this encounter. So, now the Alter Rebbe explains specifically what pshat in this Tikkun Zayah. Zokter Hazayin. V'haynu afilu im einei eisek shaloi lishma mamash. This means, even if the person is not engaging in a Torah and mitzvahs, actually shaloi lishma, not for its own sake, l'shum eizei pniyah chas v'shalom, for some ulterior motive, heaven forbid, then we certainly understand that it cannot soar upwards. But that's not the meaning of the Tikkun Zayah. The inability of one's divine service to ascend to the higher worlds applies not only in the case where one's motive is being driven by a pniya, by an ulterior motive, but it also applies even as the pasuk describes it, vatehi yirasa maisi mitzvah sanashim lumada, their fear of me is like rote learning of human commandment. Everybody knows the pasuk in Yeshaya Perek Chavtes, vayomer Hashem, Yan kini gasha am hazeh befiv ubisvasov kibduni, Hashem laments, inasmuch as this people has drawn close with its mouth and its lips, it has honored me, yet it has distanced its heart from me. Their fear of me is like rote learning of human command. So the Alter Rebbe is saying, Pirush, this means, Yeshaya Navi means, that the reason one is serving Hashem is machmas hergil shehorgel mikatnusay, out of a habit acquired in his youth, shehigilay v'limdei aviv rabbe leiris Hashem l'avde, having been trained and taught by his father and teacher to fear Hashem and to serve Him. And as the Alter Rebbe puts it, it's not just they trained him to do specific mitzvahs. They trained him to wear a yarmulke, to put on tzitzis and tefillin every morning, and therefore he's performing these mitzvahs out of rote and habit. But the Alter Rebbe says they trained him liras Hashem. They trained him to respect, to experience reverence and fear and awe from Hashem. In other words, they trained him that a mitzvah you always have to do, any type of mitzvah. But nevertheless, these young children never develop a feeling of their own. So there is no inner spirituality. There is no inner inspiration that is prompting, that is propelling their day-to-day learning and observance. So you have a person who can be living as a religious Jew, known today as an Orthodox Jew, which didn't exist, of course, in the time the Tanya was written, or better, an ultra-Orthodox Jew. He can be living in a society of Shomrei Torah and mitzvahs of observing Jews. He can educate his children in such type of schools. Why? Because that's how he was educated. And he never had, excuse me, the courage or the braveness to go out of that circle. He never maybe had the curiosity or the interest that propelled him to look into possible other truths and so forth. Just as there are people who wake up in the morning and brush their teeth, there are other people who wake up in the morning and put on tefillin. And if these Jews don't daven and don't put on tefillin, they feel exactly like a person who goes to work without brushing his teeth. So the problem is, ve'enei Isaac l'shma mamsh, he does not really have the experience of l'shma. He's not doing it for its own sake. He's not doing it for the sake of the Torah, of the mitzvahs. And Alter Rebbe explains, Ki lishma mamish, iyafshir b'lo yisayridus t'chilu rechimu ativim al kolponim. For it's impossible to serve Hashem lishma without arousing at least, one's natural divine awe and love. Like Zion may hester alevel agilui b'mayach v'talvom meis libi al kolponim. By bringing them out from the concealment of the heart into revelation, at least in the mind and the inner recesses of the heart. The Alter Rebbe keeps on emphasizing in this chapter as well as in other chapters the two options. Either you can experience palpable love in a revealed manner in your heart, or at least another option is to bring it out from the inner concealment recesses of your heart, at least in your mind and v'talumay sliboy. Which these two options are very important, because the former is not necessarily relevant to us always, or to all people. He said that in chapter 16. But the latter is relevant to every single individual, no matter his standing, his background, and so forth. In his Bir Tanya, his explanation on Tanya, Rabbadin Evan Yisrael, Rabbadin Steinzel brings a good metaphor. He says there are many people in the world today who fear a world war in which the entire human race will be eradicated and destroyed as a result of a nuclear explosion. It won't take more than a couple of minutes to destroy and annihilate the entire human race, Minar, Vadzakin, Tavanashim. And there are people who walk around day in and day out with some type of fear that this might happen, especially when nuclear energy becomes accessible to all type of barbaric lunatics in third world countries and so forth. That's one type of fear. But then there's the fear of a human being who's actually walking around in a minefield. And he knows that the next step he takes might translate in his death, in his instantaneous death, because a mine can explode and kill him. He said it's due to two types of fear. One is a yirib mayach. It's an intellectual awareness that this might happen, if you believe it might happen. And it creates a certain sensation of fear, but you cannot compare it to the intensity when a person has to walk, for whatever reason, in that field and he knows that the next step might kill him. He does not know that you have to fear. He fears. That's the difference. Ava meir b'mayach means you understand that you should be loving, that you should be fearing. Your mind tells you that this object, this truth, deserves a passion, deserves fervor, deserves zealousness. But when you're walking around in the minefield, you're not contemplating. The next step deserves to elicit from within me an emotion of fear. No, you're terrified, you're trembling from fear. There are people who are very well aware of the fact that it's dangerous for them to smoke. They know it very well, but nevertheless it doesn't prompt them to stop smoking. Why not? Not because they don't believe it. They understand it and they believe it and they can see a video and they can explain to other people how every single puff of nicotine is killing their lungs and so forth. But rather, the format of the consequences is not so evident, is not so powerful, is not so clear that the sense of fear should actually translate itself in a palpable emotion in their hearts. On the other hand, if God forbid they fall ill, so that's such a strong reality that it causes another type of fear. So in relationship to godliness, there's also two types of feelings. One feeling is you actually experience a bren, a real palpable passion and fiery inspiration. Another feeling is that you don't have the actual feeling where you're emotionally gravitating towards Torah, towards mitzvahs. But nonetheless, you understand a certain truth, and that awareness is not a hypothetical, abstract truth. It's an awareness that creates a commitment and a conviction that prompts and propels a certain type of behavior. You know that this is the right way to behave, and you know that this ought to elicit a real feeling. So here, your Torah and mitzvahs have spiritual meaning behind them. They have a lishma, they have a certain spiritual significance, because the embedded love in every Eid created this commitment in the mind. But if a Yid does not have this, he doesn't even bring out the embedded love into a mind awareness. So although the love remains hidden in his heart, but it has no bearing on his divine service. His divine service remains detached from his internal, emotional, spiritual experience. It's performed in a fashion which is called Shalai Lishma. And Alter Rebbe explains, Kikimai shein adam eisadava bishvil chaveri l'malas ritzein elim kein ayave ayari memenu. For just as one does not do something for his friend to carry out his friend's will unless he loves him or fears him, kachi efshir lasis lishma yisbarich be'emes, so too is it impossible to act truly for Hashem's sake, l'malus ritzayne levat, solely in order to carry out his will, b'liz karin v'yisayrus unless he remembers and arouses his love and fear of Hashem to some degree, at least in his mind, thought, and the inner recesses of his heart. If he cannot arouse it openly, emotionally in his heart. I cannot, Alter Rebbe is giving you an interesting metaphor. I cannot do something for you, for a friend, with the intention that I want to do it for you because you're my friend, if I don't love you. If your presence doesn't affect me emotionally, what should prompt me? What should motivate me? What should drive me to do something for you? I can do a lot of things for you, but for other calculations, which are important to me. But that the only calculation should be that I love you and I want to fulfill your will, because your will is significant to me, is important to me. For that to become a motivating factor, I have to love you. Your identity has to be meaningful in my life. So the Alter Rebbe is saying the same is true concerning Hashem. If the only reason a Yid is observing, engaging in Torah, and observing mitzvahs is out of rote, But Hashem's reality means nothing to him in his life, not to his mind and not to his emotions and so forth. So it's impossible that you should do something for his sake. His reality is not part of your psychological and emotional structure. Hashem doesn't enter into this Jew's equation. What enters into his equation is habit, rote, cultural influences, peer pressure, or many other cheshbonos. So this is called Shaloi Lishma. To have Lishma, you have to have some type of ava, some type of yira. Even if it's the intrinsic love and you bring it out only in your mind. But now it's possible to experience Torah and mitzvahs in a Lishma fashion. And Alter Rebbe adds, parenthetically, that the Tikkuni Zohar says you don't only need Rechimu, you need also the Chilu. Love is not enough, you need awe also. So Alter Rebbe adds, apparently, why should love not be enough? The Gam Ava Levada Ein Nikras B'Shem Aveda B'Li Yirat Tal Apachas Shem Misuteres B'Leif Kol Yisrael. The arousal of love alone, without the arousal of at least the lower level of awe hidden in every Jewish heart, is not called avodah, is not called service. Commission Kosovo Lakaman, as will be explained later in chapter 41. So the Alter Rebbe is saying, if you have only ava, you might have lishma, but you're lacking an important component, which is called avodah. The definition of avodah Hashem, serving Hashem, requires the component of awe, which the Alter Rebbe will discuss in that follow in chapter 41. But in any case, the Alter Rebbe is saying, even if we're dealing with a yid who doesn't experience a feeling of shaloi lishma mamish, it's really shaloi lishma. Rather, he's just doing it out of rote. His Torah and mitzvahs cannot soar upwards because there's no spiritual fuel or consciousness that should elevate it. It remains a dry deed in a physical world. And Alter Rebbe continues, however, when one engages in divine service explicitly, not lishma, not like in the above mentioned case where there was no ulterior motive. In the above mentioned case, the only problem was that your Torah and mitzvahs lacked spirituality. They lacked godliness. They lacked refinement. They lacked sublimity. They lacked edelkeit. But here there is a new scenario. They are actually being prompted by Shaloi Lishma Mamish, which means Lishum Eze Pniya Lichvayd Atzmai. He's doing it or learning it for an ulterior motive of self-glorification. Kigaliyas Talmud Chacham Ukai Gavnas, for example, in order to become a great Torah giant. He wants to become a Gadol, he wants to become a Talmud Chacham, a Torah scholar. That is what is propelling his non-ending learning and harving and steiging, as they put it, toiling and learning Torah and observance of mitzvahs. Zagdal Torah ba'azai then, oisapniya, this motive, shemitzad ha-klipa de-noiga, which is derived from klipas noiga, mislabeshes b'teiras, it closes itself in his Torah study, v'ateiri b'b'chinas golus b'teich ha-klipa, and his Torah studied for this motive is in a state of exile within the klipa, l'fisha temporarily, ad ha-sheyase tshuva shemavir ful oilam, till he does tshuva, which brings healing to the world. What does the Alter Rebbe say? In the former case, there was no pniya. You did it out of rote. So there's no spirituality, so it remains a physical deed. There's no avanira that's elevating it, that's giving it idealistical spiritual significance. But here is a new issue. Here we're dealing with the Jew whose Torah and mitzvahs is driven by his ego, by his desire, as he gives. By his desire to become a Talmud Chacham, for example, a desire of self-glorification. In other words, the perception that is prompting his Torah is a perception stemming from the world of Klippa. What is Klippa? Klippa is a husk. What is Klippa? What did Alter Rebbe explain in Tanya? Klippa is that philosophy, that energy that allows men to entertain the lie that he's not spiritual. the possible illusion that I can have in my life, that there is an element in my consciousness and my life that's outside of the realm of godliness and spirituality. The lie that I need honor, I need ego, I need glory, I need power, that is a lie that comes from Klippa, which conceals the truth. And the truth is that I need one thing. I need godliness, I need divine vulnerability, I need spirituality, I need transcendence. But Klippa is a veil that covers up this truth and allows me to experience new types of needs, new types of motives, new types of cravings. And one of them is self-glorification. You don't need to be self-glorified. You know why? Because your eye has no reality outside of the divine eye. You don't need ego. You need the divine eye because that's the only eye that exists. Pierce through the layers and you'll see, I need the divine eye, I need spirituality, I need transcendence, I don't need self-glorification, I don't need politics, I don't need lies, I don't need cover-ups, I don't need self-aggrandizement and so forth. This perception begins in the world of Asiya, the perception of Klippa. In this case, what is the consciousness that is fueling this man's Torah? A consciousness coming from Klippa. Klippa's Meiga. It's not Shalosh Lipos Atmeis. In shells itself, there are various degrees. There are the total opaque shells that totally conceal any glimmer of divinity. Here you're dealing with Klippas Nega, translucent shell, which means a more refined level of ego and so forth. But nevertheless, this Pnia, this ulterior motive coming from Klippa, is now enclosed in the Teda. This is the motor, the engine, that's driving, that's fueling the Teda. It's giving the Teda vigor, animation, existence, continuous vitality and so forth. So now the Teda becomes in a state of exile in the Klippa. It's in captivity in Klippa. There's a story they tell about a Yid who was a Parush. He was an isolated Jew who went into isolation at a young age and would sit all day and daven and learn. Would never leave his room to the extent that even his physical needs, sustenance, food and drinks, they would lower into his room under the door and he would lift it up and he never came out of his room.